I, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, do solemnly swear.
It's gutless leadership.
Welcome. You are listening to The Obsessive Progressive, the podcast bringing you current news and opinions centered on American politics and the progressive movement.
Well, I'm not a crook.
Oh, no. And now, your host, Anthony Bazzo.
Hello, and thank you for joining me. I am Anthony, and welcome. This is the Obsessive Progressive Podcast. Here's our next episode. Today, we're going to talk about the general election. Yeah, it happened. We're going to talk about it. What happened? You know, how did we get in the situation we are in right now? It's not an easy topic. It's not an easy answer, that's for sure. But it's something that happened, I also think, along with last episode where we talked a little bit about what happened in the primary and how the Democratic Party needs to address some of these issues so that they can regain the trust of the people that are Democrats and want to vote that side, the left and liberal views. This is also important for us to realize, both the Democratic Party and a nation overall, to make sure that we never get another Donald Trump. Because you're going to hear a lot of, we'll give him a chance, and I understand that, but there's a certain point where he's already blowing through his chances. He's going to do everything he can possible to make himself a lot of money and screw the rest of us. So I just hope that in 4 years, when our economy has just destroyed itself, when the world economy has gone down, probably in at least one full-on war with Iran, and who knows what else, that those people who were willing to vote for him, willing to look over all of his flaws just because they thought maybe he'd be different, hopefully they can finally realize, yeah, that was a terrible decision. And unfortunately, we're stuck with him for 4 years no matter what. I mean, best case scenario, what, we impeach him and Mike Pence takes over? Yeah, that's not much better. But we're going to focus on the actual general election. What happened? How did he win? And what I'm going to still classify kind of as a classic Trump loophole. You know, Trump wins, quote unquote, because he screws over the system. Well, he abused a system that's completely undemocratic, being the entire election, general election, and how we do it with the Electoral College, which is completely undemocratic, but okay. But, you know, it's the same way he runs businesses. I mean, he gets ahead, quote unquote, again, by filing bankruptcies and just screwing over everyone else in his path so that he can make a few more bucks. So I'm not surprised that this is how he won. But we're going to go a little more depth of, though, how even though the polls show that she was going to win, that somehow Hillary Clinton found a way to lose. So we're going to go into that. So let's talk about the basics of going into the election. Donald Trump is the worst candidate in history, according to polls, for favorability. I mean, even on the day he was elected, he only had a 40-something, 44, I believe, approval rating. 44, that's it. Obama had an 84 when he took office. That was his approval rating. So not even close. Not even close. It is the worst in history, period. I mean, even the last time we had a Republican win, which conveniently also was when he lost the, you know, majority vote. Oh, crazy. Maybe we should get rid of that system. The last two Republican presidents have been elected based on the fact that they lost the popular vote. But I digress. But we're talking about this. But the facts show it. Most disapproved presidential candidate in history, even before, you know, the general election, you know, finally took place on November 8th. But unfortunately, who was number two on that list for most hated? Hillary Clinton. So you had the most disapproved candidate in history going up against the second most disapproved. Not really an issue. So unfortunately, the Democratic Party was handed a golden plate of the presidency. Golden plate. Hey, here's the worst candidate in history to go up against. And they found a way to lose because their best bet was, hey, let's stick behind the second worst candidate. Now, we can argue whether or not it's fair. It doesn't really matter. I get it that, yes, Hillary Clinton's been attacked for the last 30 years, but we knew that. And people were willing to sacrifice that anyways, understanding that you know, independents, along with Republicans, hated her. Whether it's fair or not, it doesn't really matter because that's what they felt. We knew that's how they felt because polls showed that's how they felt. So it was a mistake right from the start. And you know, is it fair that she was criticized as much as she is? To a certain extent, no. I mean, there's a lot of things that they attacked her on that she has nothing to do. I mean, Benghazi is something that people hate her about. There's been 9 investigations done by Republicans. If there was anything they could have charged her with, guaranteed there would have been charges. Okay, the email thing. Something I hate. I don't like it. I think it shows a very strong lack of judgment. But the problem is, or the ish thing is they never found anything. The FBI who would have charged her was run by a Republican. And we'll get a little bit more into that later. But, like, if he found something worth charging for, he would have. Why wouldn't he? He is a Republican. He could care less about Hillary Clinton's career. Like, that's always the thing. Oh, they're corrupt in the FBI. Like, it's your own person running the FBI. So you don't even trust your own people? Like, I'm not surprised. But, you know, that's an issue. But this general election definitely showed us one thing. This country was ready for change. It wasn't necessarily change away from the Democratic Party. It was true, utter change of the system. Now, of course, they put their faith and this whole idea behind a man who is the corrupter, who has never cared about the system, who's actually prospered from the system significantly, a man who hasn't paid federal taxes probably in 20 years, which means the illegal immigrants he's hating have paid more federal taxes towards actually getting shit done in this country than he has. He's a scam artist, and so he's never cared about anyone other than himself, but unfortunately, he duped almost half the country to believe that somehow this man who's never shown any interest in anyone other than his own pockets was going to fix them. But he did represent one thing. He was not a politician. He was not a politician. And yes, he talked like a third grader. He was a giant bully. He's an asshole. He is a racist. He is a bigot. You know, we can argue and talk about whether or not all of his supporters are, but there's no doubt he is. Okay, the things that he says, mocking, you know, a disabled person, none of these things are acceptable, but they definitely represent somebody who's not a politician, so it was clear they didn't want that. Now, why were they so desperate for change? Because they were told they were getting change from Obama. And this is this is going to be another episode. If you're a super huge Obama lover, you might not particularly love the next 45 minutes, but unfortunately, because of Obama's lack of action and lack of success is definitely how we got Donald Trump to a good degree. And it's a couple things. First, Obama did some really great things, but never was willing to go out there and just like rub it. He was so political, he didn't want to take too much credit. And then he definitely never really punished the Republicans on the right wing for their lack of willingness to do anything. You know, Obama was so noble in the idea of trying to work with Republicans, it led to his own demise because in the end he kept trying, hey, let's work together, let's work together, let's work together, and they kept saying, fuck off, I don't care. And that's how they put it. And then they used their platform to blame every single problem that's ever happened in this country against Obama. Is that fair? No. Do I think that what Obama did was great? No. But they're not the same thing. He's not the worst president by any means that's ever taken office, and there is no doubt that he's one of the higher ones. But he did promise us more, and he wasn't able to get it. Now, why wasn't he able to get it? You could argue he had some people against him, yes. But the first two years, he could have got done anything, because they had the House, they had the Senate, they had the presidency. They could have controlled it. They could have pushed the country, shown that they were actually standing for change, and there's a good chance that would have resonated and kept Democrats in power for the rest of his candidacy. But some of it's not his fault. He can't control the fact that there was a giant economic crash, which everybody, again, blamed on Obama, even though he had nothing to do with. But unfortunately, that's the hand that was dealt. And he wasn't able to take that back and rub it back in their face, you know, get it to go back against the Republicans, because it's clearly part of their problem. So, you know, Obamacare was a great thing, except, you know, it was halfway there. It was a half measure. There was the public option, but he tried to be so bipartisan, he took it out because he knew they wouldn't like it. He wanted Republicans to work with him so bad. And guess what? In the end, they still, not a single Republican joined him. So at that point, push the real progressive idea through. Push the one that actually gives the change that you promised. And unfortunately, it didn't. And so now we are where we are, where people are so hesitant to believe politicians, and also, you know, resentment towards Obama himself. And unfortunately, part of that is that Hillary Clinton was essentially Obama's heir, in a sense. She made it clear throughout the entire campaign that she was Obama 2.0. She was just, I wouldn't even call it 2.0, like 1.1. I'm going to be exactly like Obama. Well, unfortunately, better or for worse, a decent portion of the country did not like Obama. So that is what it is. But did hate and racism play a role? Absolutely. There are definitely supporters of Donald Trump who are absolutely racist, sexist, bigots. I mean, they exist. Unfortunately, that's part of the right wing, is that, you know, they've used the Southern strategy for the last 40 years. It's going to create a lot of racism. And so that is what it is. And you have a man like Donald Trump who's unwilling to, like, distance himself from a guy like David Duke, the leader of the modern day KKK. You know, you have him putting a man like Steve Bannon, who is a supporter of his, putting Steve Bannon now even more obvious because he's got him on his, you know, in his cabinet as a big connection to Donald Trump. He's the man who ran Breitbart. Well, Breitbart is a super right-wing propaganda machine spewing fake news constantly, and they created what is known as the alt-right. I'm going to try not to refer to the alt-right as the alt-right going further, because that's trying to normalize. That's trying to give them a decent name. No, these people are not just right-wingers. They're white supremacists. They're Nazis. That's what they are. That's who they are. That's what they care about. They hate minorities. They hate anyone that aren't men and white. They hate anybody that's not Christian. I mean, these are some pretty terrible people. These are the people who then got so offended that we called them deplorable. Yeah, they're fucking deplorables. They literally then, though ironically, took that name and created an event after Donald Trump's election towards the inauguration where they call it the Deplorable. So these deplorables, these Nazis, wanted to have this giant gathering. Hilarious, of course, is that these hating individuals had their own rift within there. So like half of them didn't show up because half of them wanted to be anti-Semitic and the other half said, no, that's a little too far. That's a little too much hate. I mean, we can hate the Muslims, we can hate the black people and the Mexicans and the brown people and everybody else, but we can't really hate Jews. That's too far now. And like there was this big argument, like these are deplorable people. I have no love for racists. I have no love for these white supremacists. These are terrible people. Terrible. Okay. Did they vote for Donald Trump? Absolutely, because Donald Trump's rhetoric clearly made it known that he cared about white people above all else. No one else mattered. He stereotyped black people. He called the entire, you know, Latino race, essentially, you know, everybody with Latin culture, that they were rapists and drug dealers. He clearly doesn't care about anybody else other than white people. So, unfortunately, that is what it is. He obviously sexist. So, he had supporters like that. Was that enough to throw the election? No, because those people always vote Republican. You know, so it is what it is. Obviously, a big issue, though, we're going to, you know, we talked a little bit about with the DNC, its whole self, you know, during the primary, is the Hillary Clinton and DNC hubris. You know, this idea that they thought it was going to be easy to beat him. And it showed. It showed in debates. It showed on the fact that you didn't see her in the news anymore. She wasn't out there fighting for any ideas. She wasn't pushing her agenda. No, it was always Trump. And then the one thing is that, you know, they weren't going for change. It was like, oh no, we're going to continue the last 8 years. The problem was people hated the last 8 years, okay? Not everybody. We know that. Obama actually has a very good approval rating leaving office, but enough people hated it that it just didn't matter. If you're going to say that, the country doesn't like to stay stagnant because there's always people not doing well currently. The current system does not do well for everybody. It just doesn't. The current system clearly favors the top, and if you're not a part of the top, you're going to have a rougher time. And so it doesn't matter what president is, you're always going to feel like it's a shitty time to be you. And so unfortunately, you can't stay as a no change. You have to be change. You have to be pushing for change. And she never did that. And he did. You also see the Hillary Clinton camp and the Democratic Party refusing to work with Bernie Sanders supporters. Now, this is not necessarily Bernie. You know, Bernie himself came out and did what he was supposed to and knew the threat that was Donald Trump and did everything he can to try to help Hillary Clinton. But you have high-ranking people from the Bernie campaign that were trying to work with Hillary Clinton. They tried to warn her because they were doing all the research in these battleground states. These states that had not gone red, but they were being threatened. That's the election, people. Literally, three states decided the entire election. 78,000 people. And we'll get more into that, but the point is that the Daily Beast reported, and because they talked to these high-ranking officials in the Bernie campaign, that they were trying to talk to them. They were trying to convince them, hey, we need to work on these states. We need to work and push populist ideas because that's what's resonating with them. That's why they're turning to Trump, because they don't feel like you're fighting for them. And they ignored that. They clearly didn't push for it. The campaign members were saying that there was no response. Nothing was done. Nothing was done constructively. So it just fell off. This made a huge issue because, I mean, this is a huge mistake. You allow Donald Trump to gain momentum with the people that you should be going after, the progressives, because that's what populist movements really are, progressive movements. And you allowed Donald Trump, even though he was lying his ass off, he got to say that he was supporting of those populist movements. And you never proved him other. You never could prove him otherwise. And you weren't even fighting for the same type of populist movements. So that really, really hurt her. Obviously, there was media mistrust. Now, this goes back to both the, the primary, where we had issues of them clearly helping Hillary Clinton and doing, and implicitly, whether or not they did it outright. I mean, some people did. Donna Brazile was a reporter for CNN who leaked questions to Hillary Clinton prior to a debate. That's an issue, okay? That is clearly favoritism. But, you know, the companies that ran them were clearly Hillary Clinton because they were on the top donor list. And we talked about that last time. But it's really, we can blame the media a lot too, because I would say the only reason Trump even gained momentum in the Republican primary is the media. The billions and billions of dollars of free ads that they gave Trump by just putting him on the air constantly. I mean, they would take his call anytime, night or day. If he called, they would take it and they would, boom, put him on air and they would allow him to spew his hate and disgusting rhetoric. They thought it was going to be obvious. Oh, this is going to make him seem awful. And then, of course, really, the big deal is that kind of terrible racism talk and things that are super hateful and his third grade vocabulary resonated with people, which means it's sold. It means a lot of people tuned in. But that means you created Donald Trump because he had no platform if you didn't give him that. You gave him that. You gave him the opportunity to even be risen. And you did it at a way disproportionate rate to the actual candidates who deserve the time and actually could have made this country better. Instead, you gave it all to this madman because, yeah, he sold ads and that's all that mattered to you. We get it. You're a corporation. And unfortunately, that has led to them actually leaning right wing, not left wing, and allows them to disregard journalism for just trying to sell ads and make money. And that's all they care about. Journalism is totally secondary. It's not a thing, the corporate media, because they need to make money. And that's all they care about, because that's what corporations do. They're not people. Corporations are machines that we have built as a human race. We've built that kind of a machine to just boost sales, to make a buttload of money. So we can't be surprised that when we trust the one area where we're supposed to be getting facts and fact-checking of the government and politicians, and instead they're just focusing on profits. Well, yeah, of course they're going to be focusing on profits. And unfortunately, that's led to where we are now. Completely uninformed and issues that we have. So this mistrust, huge issue with the media. And obviously, you know, Donald Trump played it up, and so it helped him significantly. Comey. Okay, so Comey is the guy who headed up the FBI. This is the guy who released the report about 7-8 days prior to the actual general election that he may reopen the case against Hillary Clinton. this is an illegal act. It's actually not allowed. He's actually, you know, he actually broke a law by doing that. He's not allowed to, as a public official, to try to sway an election in that way. But he did it. And who's going to charge him? Himself? No. Is the Republican who won Donald Trump, is he going to go after him? Of course not. He helped him get him, you know, get him presidency. The entire idea was he sent out a letter to the press, who never needed to know because he didn't reopen it. It was just, hey, I'm going to look at some more emails on someone else's computer and just see if anything's related to Hillary. And guess what? There wasn't. Nothing. Nada. Now, was this the deciding factor? I don't know. But because of how small the issue of how many votes was the difference, it could have been. So, this is a huge issue, but I would want to remind people, yes, Comey is a Republican, which means he did it, you know, for hostile reasons. But do you know who put him there? Barack Obama. The bipartisan idea that Barack came into the office with led to the demise of the Democratic Party, potentially, because of things like this. I get it. It's nice that you want to put in a Republican. You want to try to help and be cooperative. But the other party doesn't give a shit about being cooperative. They succeed by doing nothing. Because it makes you look bad, so why would they work with you? They don't give a crap about you. They don't care about any of the issues. They care about money. And they get more money by not doing anything. So they didn't care. And so he was put in office, and look it, he got an opportunity to destroy the potential chance for Hillary Clinton. So that was a huge issue. We know that. And I can't say that that alone did it again, but at the same time, since it was such a small margin of people that decided in those three states, it could have swayed it. It really could have. Obviously, we have Russia. We know Russia hacked in. We know that they hacked into the DNC and Hillary Clinton campaign emails and released those to WikiLeaks. Did it damage her? Absolutely. But the point of the matter is, again, they were facts. Is it wrong for Russia to try to influence our election? Yes. Definitely something I want to address in the sense that we need to make sure that we have a better secure system so that they can't do that, because we obviously don't want other countries to try to determine who we have as president. But we can't scapegoat them either. They're not the one problem. It's not like if Russia wouldn't have done that, she would have won in a landslide. We don't know that. What we know is that it happened. And it's unfortunate, but we definitely should be. And then what we should really be doing is making sure actually now that it wasn't a part of the voting issue. It's something that, of course, the Republicans out there, you know, they had, you know, control, is that they never did that. They never allowed independent, you know, company to go in and actually verify votes. They didn't let them, because I'm sure they were scared of what they might find, because Russia was hacking into the primary, trying to hack in. They didn't successfully do it, but they were trying to hack into multiple states for registration and things in those primary states. So that would have actually affected the vote. And if they actually affected the vote, then that's a huge issue. I mean, way beyond trying to influence it. I don't like that they are influencing it. But if they didn't change votes, then that's, you know, that's a whole different ballgame. If they change votes, we, you know, this is a huge issue. So it should be something there. But the point is now you have Hillary Clinton and the entire Democratic Party trying to use them as a scapegoat. Like, it's all their fault. No, you have to, because if you do that, you ignore the fact that you have, you know, a lot of blame to take, because it shouldn't have been close. This presidency shouldn't have been close. It should have been a landslide because you went up against the worst liked candidate in history. But you didn't. You didn't do that because you weren't the best candidate. You didn't run a good campaign. You could have crushed him. You didn't. You can't blame Russia that you didn't do your job. Okay? Did they make a mistake? Or did they interfere? Absolutely. But in the end, I can't blame them. They were a factor. But I'm not willing to just say that I can then forgive Hillary Clinton and her campaign for what they did to us, to this country. And of course, now you have a man who got, you know, elected, and he keeps saying this mandate, that he has mandate. It's crazy. He thinks he's this guy coming to take the power back to the people. in Donald Trump. That was his big speech at his inauguration, was he's bringing back the power to the people, which is hilarious because he lost the popular vote by almost 3 million. The people didn't want him. They made it clear. He thinks everybody wanted him. He is absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. One of the few bright spots in this entire election was the fact that he did lose the popular vote by almost 3 million. So in the end, even though it's disgusting that we're stuck with him, at least I know that more than half of the country that voted absolutely chose the correct person. Chose the person who wasn't going to vehemently destroy this country for his own profit. It gives me some faith, but still makes me upset because it doesn't matter because we don't live in a democracy. Who gives a shit about that, right? Because the entire election was decided by 78,000 votes. That's what you break it down to, because you really have three states that went that flopped. You have Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. These are states that Hillary Clinton should have won. And they were all lost by a total, combined, all three combined, 78,000 votes. So if you flip, you know, 40,000 of those votes, you win the election. It seems like a lot of people, but that is minuscule. That is actually minuscule in the grand scheme of how many people voted. So this is part of the problem and part of why we have, you know, pushback again. We should have had more pushback back in 2000 when we allowed Bush to get to be president, even though he had lost the popular vote. But we need to push back and get rid of this system. The entire system, the Electoral College, is a joke. It's not a democracy. The entire reason it exists is to give was to give power to the southern states, the slave states. They wanted extra power even though they didn't deserve it. So we had this thing, what they call the three-fifths compromise, where they got to count their slaves as three-fifths of a person to count towards their electoral vote. And that was towards this whole... Well, of course, the slaves didn't have rights. They couldn't vote. Like, they weren't worth a vote because they weren't people, according to the South. So no, it should never have been there. And now we have an issue because, I'm sorry, but a person who lives in Idaho or Montana or Utah, their vote shouldn't count for thousands of votes in California, but that's how we have it now. Their vote is weighted so much higher. And you'll have people on the right wing, like Fox News, you'll have Bill O'Reilly say that if we get rid of the Electoral College, we're going to hurt the value of a vote. No, you're going to hurt you guys because you guys have less actual people voting for you. You know, I'm sorry that you have less people, but this is supposed to be a, you know, democracy, republic, you know, how you want to say it. But, you know, we really should be fighting for the people, the majority of people. And the majority of people show what they wanted. They wanted Hillary Clinton. They didn't want Donald Trump. But that's not what we got because of this terrible Electoral College. And, you know, that is the issue, is that somehow a vote in Alabama is worth thousands of votes in California. No, we really should have one vote means one goddamn vote. You know, the argument that, oh, that's going to put too much power into the hands of the cities. No, it puts the power into the people's hands. I don't know how you can construe that. Why and how can you justify to yourself that one vote shouldn't equal one vote? How do you say, well, this guy's vote should be worth one, but that guy's vote should be worth like 20,000? Why not? That's not a democracy, not even close. I understand that we don't run a true democracy, but the fact that this has been allowed to exist is disgusting. It also is super shitty for most of the country. When it comes to elections, you also have the whole, during the elections, that these candidates don't go to other states. They just completely ignore states because it's like, doesn't matter. You know, does Donald Trump have to do anything in Texas? Nope. Did Hillary Clinton have to go and talk to or discuss anything with Californians? Nope. So it's actually a detriment to the country because the people who live, and then you discourage certain voters. You know, a Republican in California is much less likely to go out. A Democrat in Texas is much less likely to go out because they feel like their vote doesn't matter. And that's a problem. We're supposed to be empowering the people. And we don't do that with this system. The system destroys that. It discards the person and tries to justify it in a bullshit way. So this is a huge issue. I can't believe we live with it. You know, we no longer live in a system where, like, if we had a close election, it would cause a lot of chaos. everything's done electronically, it's so much easier to recount. Like, it's not even close to what it would have been, you know, 60, 70 years ago. This system needs to go away because, again, two out of the last five elections, the person who had the most votes lost. 40% of the votes, or 40% of the elections since 2000 ended with the loser winning. What fucking ridiculous shit is that? I'm sorry, I'm swearing more, but it really bothers me that we have 40% of all the elections since 2000, we allowed the loser to win. That's a problem. I thought Donald Trump was a winner. I thought he wanted our country to win. He's really just a loser. I mean, he gets to win because of a classic loophole, but in the end, he's a loser. He lost by 3 million. And he's so thin-skinned that he's now trying to create this bullshit story, which he only first read from Breitbart, I believe is the first place he had it released, was this idea of upwards of 3 million illegal votes in California. Breitbart. Oh yeah, the guy that he's got on his bench, Steve Bannon, who doesn't actually report news but just makes up bullshit when no other news source at all has anything confirmed or any even real suspicion of anything close to that. It's crazy. And then you have recently, he was talking about, you know, there's all these people who are you know, registered in multiple states and all these issues. It's like, well, sometimes that happens. You can't control every registration it's crazy to do that all the time. And then, of course, the hilarious note is that Steve Bannon is registered in two different states. Donald Trump's daughter, not Ivanka, Tiffany, is registered in two different states. You know, it's like your own family and friends are registered in two different states. Doesn't mean that they legally voted. It's a very different thing, but he's going to make that bullshit up because he's so thin-skinned. It doesn't matter that he found a way to win. He still feels, because of course we're all talking about it, he's so thin-skinned. He's like, no, I'm the best. Everybody loved me. The problem is you're a liar and you're not living in reality. I know we're stuck with you, but in the end, that's the fact. So... This last week, though, I put up a Facebook post to my friends, just kind of friends and family, just asking those who either know new people who voted for Trump or people who did vote for Trump about, you know, why? What made them vote for him? And I'm not surprised. Nobody really mentioned any of the terrible things. No one mentioned the racism and disgusting bigotry a little bit here and there, but not much. But I was interested. I didn't really hear the change thing, which I kind of expected. I still think it was an issue, but I think a lot of people didn't think about it that way. But some of the big things we thought is that this crazy idea, you know, we see it all the time that the right's put it. They feel when they argue, when they're being discriminated upon, as they call it, they think they're being discriminated upon because they're not allowed to discriminate on other people. You know, like, how bullshit is that? You shouldn't discriminate me for my ability to discriminate against other people. you stand for doing that kind of stuff, for discriminating against people. We're just showing you what it's like. It sucks, doesn't it? This sucks when we discriminate against you. Yeah, stop discriminating against other people. You know, your freedom does not trump the fact that other people should have rights. I'm sorry, but that's the fact. Your rights are no better or bigger than anyone else's. And then I saw this idea of war against cops and how crazy that is. It is officially one of the safest times in history to be a cop. Lowest death rates for cops in decades, in the last 2 years. Decades. Decades and decades. This is some of the safest time in history. So no, I don't believe this bullshit war on cops. Do I understand that they have a tough job? Absolutely. Do I want that job? Hell no. But I also know what it's like. I also know what it's about. I know what it's about to be a cop, and I don't want to put myself in that situation. And people who put themselves in that situation should know and understand the risks that they're taking. But the point of the matter is, it's some of the safest time to be a cop. But there's this idea that there's a war against cops, and that Black Lives Matter is a war against them. They can't understand. And it's hilarious. I mean, it's super sad, but it's somewhat hilarious because they obviously understand the idea of Black Lives Matter and what the phrase means, because the big counter was Blue Lives Matter. It's like, well, so, okay, you do understand, because your argument against Black Lives Matter was, hey, white lives matter too. Well, yeah, they didn't say that they didn't matter. There's an implicit too, T-O-O, or also after. It's not Black Lives Matter only. It's Black Lives Matter as well. Black Lives Matter too. Because those are the facts, because the facts are, you are 5 times more likely to die to gun violence from a cop if you're black than white. Those are the facts. You are 4 times more likely to be arrested and charged for the same crimes that you do at the same rate as white people because you're black. You have these unarmed kids dying within seconds because they're black. Because that's the only thing that defines the difference. You see the Planned Parenthood shooter in Colorado get detained without violence, never got shot. He literally killed a cop. And then you'll have the kids in Cleveland shot on the spot, 2 seconds, didn't even have a real weapon in their hands. Never did anything. Yeah, there's a fucking difference. It's a fucking problem. And I'm very upset that there's this denial that there's an issue. I don't think that there should be a war against cops. I think cops are necessary. I think cops, though, should be protecting us, not executing us. We pay their goddamn salary, so do the black people that they keep killing. And I'm not saying everything is unjustified. I won't say that. Obviously, sometimes it is necessary. But there is obviously a training problem. It's not individual problem. It is a training problem. And I read this about somebody who responded to me saying, you know, people need to take, you know, responsibility for their own actions. The problem is you don't know the facts. The facts are some people literally did nothing and got executed for it. They got executed for it because of their color of their skin, because it's the only thing that was different from situation to situation. Their lives don't matter only. Their lives matter as well. You understand because you were willing to say blue lives matter. And I'm assuming you mean not just cops. I'm assuming you think yourself matters. So you understand what they meant. You just don't care because you don't care about anybody that's not exactly like you. I just need you to admit it that you don't give a shit about anybody else. And if you don't, fine. But the rest of us need to. You know, we need more people to understand and realize that other people matter. So this is another bullshit thing that you're going to get, unfortunately, from the right wing. And it's going to be not just Trump, but all around. And then, of course, the Second Amendment. Oh, everybody's so afraid. Everybody's so afraid. Hillary Clinton was going to steal our guns. She's going to steal our guns away. First, when did she say she was taking your guns? I'm waiting. Can you find me that clip? When has a Democrat ever said in history that he was going to take your guns away, or she was going to take away your guns? Still waiting. Oh yeah, because they've never said that, because they're not stupid, they're not willing to say that, most of them don't believe that either, that they're going to take away guns. But you guys associate the idea of some regulation as somehow stealing your rights away. First, I would like you to take 20 seconds, go on the Google, you know, do the Google, type in Second Amendment and read it for the first time in your own goddamn life, because I can guarantee you haven't, because you believe it only says right to bear arms. But there's a very significant part that's in there. And you guys forget it, and you either know it's there, and you conveniently forget it, or you don't know it's there because you're ignorant. But either way, there's literally the phrase, well-regulated. I mean, it's literally in the amendment. It's a well-regulated militia. What the fuck does that say to you that makes you think that, oh yeah, I should be able to buy any gun I want, whenever I want, no matter who I am, what kind of history I have, I don't care, it doesn't mean that I can be regulated at all. It literally says well-regulated, it says militia, none of those things apply to you as some random Joe Schmo who wants a fucking assault rifle. And do I think everybody who buys a gun wants to kill people? No. But unfortunately, guns are made for one thing and one thing only, and that is to kill. So yes, it bothers me. It also bothers me because I also know the statistics. And the statistics show that a white guy who's a right winger is actually 7 times more likely to kill me than a Muslim. 7 times. We have more domestic terrorism by right wing white guys than we ever do with any kind of Muslim. And I want you to find the last time there was a left wing mass shooter. Oh yeah, he doesn't exist. Because left wing have something that, unfortunately, the right wing completely lacks, and that's called empathy. Nothing's worth killing someone over. Okay, that's a problem. And then, of course, you'll have the fight from Trump and his supporters against welfare, food stamps, the stuff that keeps people alive, the things that if people don't have it, people will die. You know, food stamps is the biggest one. I get the welfare. I can't justify to you or give you the statistics because I don't know them. But are people scamming something? Yeah. Who doesn't? You all scam the system. I know you all do. I see these right-wingers who are small company owners who will, you know, write off, like, vacations. And they have a vacation home in a different country and they write off the whole thing. Like, it's a business expense. It's not a business expense. You're fucking screwing the system. I know what you're doing. But, oh, but you'll blame the guy, you know, the tiny percentage that's trying to find a way to screw. I also want you to know, who the hell lives a lavish lifestyle on goddamn welfare? It doesn't exist. You can't live a good lifestyle on that. It's still super shitty. It's still a super terrible life. So, I'm sorry. No, I'm not convinced that those people are just doing that to just, like, make money. They're not being wealthy. They're doing it to survive on food stamps. There was this big Fox News article, or this Fox News telecast talking about food stamps and how $70 million was in fraud. And that sounds like a lot. And that is a lot of money to a layperson, but to the entire program, that was 1% of the program. 1%. So even though 99% of a program is successful, saves people's lives, gives children, those people you're supposed to care about because you claim to be pro-life, those kids who can't eat and their choice is to die or have their parents die because they're trying to feed their children and they can't feed them, all for 1% of doing it wrong. 99% of it's perfectly perfect and absolutely necessary, but you want to screw those 99%. Because 1% did it wrong. All for a program that makes up 0.01% of the budget. That's how much mistakes was there was. You want to cut an entire program because it makes up the whole food stamp program right around 0.1, 0.2% of the budget. You want to cut an entire program because it's going to save you money. That's how little impact it has on the U.S. economy or the U.S. budget. But you want to cut it all. The Republicans want to cut it all. Why do they want to cut it all? Because they just don't give a shit about people. It doesn't actually make them more fiscally conservative because it saves so little money. It doesn't matter that it saves lives. It doesn't matter that it makes the difference between someone being strong enough to keep their life going on or starvation and hunger. Children dying. It doesn't matter to them. Who cares, right? Who cares? So that was an unfortunate one. And one I knew was going to be there, but still really hurts me. And then, of course, the utter scary, ISIS. That was another big reason for Trump, is that they're so scared. These guys who got their guns like to act tough. No, you're cowards. We get it. You're cowardly. I mean, you want this Muslim ban. You don't want refugees to come in because, you know, those children, they're pretty scary. Pretty scary children. Oh, no, you're very scared, but you're always scared about ISIS. Oh, they're going to come and kill us all. They're going to come and kill. Again, I already said the statistic. If you actually wanted to keep yourself safe, you'd actually prevent right-wing white guys from getting guns. Because they're the ones who are far more likely to kill you. 7 times more likely. So you don't actually have rational fear. You actually have irrational fear for a threat that's not there. I mean, ISIS is a threat, but they're minuscule compared to other things. When you're actually here in this country. But you're scared shitless of them because of the fear-mongering that we get from the right. And then, of course, overall, the anti-Hillary vote. Obviously a big deal. They just felt like the other side was worse. The corruption was worse. And unfortunately, they never understood what can never... And I blame myself because I also made the mistake, you know, when I was trying to argue against these people and try to make some kind of plea with them. You talk about, because to me it would have been enough. I mean, because I already have the left ideas and everything, but like I feel like it should have been enough that this man is a racist, that this man is a sexist, this is a man who sexually assaults women, this is a man who mocks the disabled, this is a disgusting human being, a man who doesn't actually have policies. His response to things is that he'll figure it out. He doesn't actually have any ideas of his own. He doesn't actually have a plan. He's not prepared. He's not actually educated enough to take over this role. He has no experience. I mean, he's got nothing going for him. All those things. But, like, again, the one thing is, like, when I think about that tape, and then the dozens of women coming out, clearly showing that this is a sexual, he's a guy who has sexually assaulted women. I'm a man, but I understand that every woman has the right not to be groped. I understand, and I support that, because that's ridiculous. This argument you always get from the right is that, you know, millennials especially, but at the left, we feel entitled. Now, this man feels so entitled, he believes he's above women, that he can just grab them by the pussies. Yeah, I'm going to use his terms. And then, of course, the ironic thing, then he says, come at him like a bitch. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. It really means that, like, you're a bitch, which is weird. It's a weird thing to say. But he's sexually assaulted women. One way or another, that's what he did. To me, that's enough to just write him off. Like, he could have been fucking Bernie Sanders. He does that. Guess what? Who's not voting for him? This guy. I'm not voting for him. And that was always the thing. That was the thing that, of course, the media tried to focus on. Hillary tried to focus on. I tried to focus on. I'll admit it. I made a mistake. Because it's clear the right wing, the people who vote Republican, don't give a crap. They don't care how terrible of a person you are. They're selfish. They have an ingrained nature of selfishness. They don't care that this person may hurt other people. All they care about is, what are you going to do for me? And unfortunately, they felt that he was going to stand up for some kind of corruption, because he said the right things. He would say, hey, I'm anti-corruption. You know, I used to buy these people, and Crooked Hillary. She's getting bought by Goldman Sachs and all this bullshit. And of course, he duped you all. I knew he was lying. Why would a guy who's profited greatly from the system, why would he ever change it? Of course he wasn't going to change it. And the whole idea was he was going to drain the swamp, quotes, you know, in quotes, drain the swamp. What has he done? Look at his entire cabinet. We're going to talk about his entire cabinet. Or not his entire cabinet, but a good chunk of his cabinet. He's filled it up with the swamp. The same people you blame. Goldman Sachs, that was the big one, right? Because Hillary Clinton's bought by Goldman Sachs. He has multiple Goldman Sachs employees, you know, high up, you know, previous CEOs and board members on his cabinet. The irony is so blatant. And it was so obvious because he's a liar. He's always been a liar. He doesn't care what the truth is. He says whatever it takes to get what he wants. And unfortunately, we couldn't expose that enough to make a difference. And that's on all of us to try to find a way that next time we can actually figure out a way to get to these people that, hey, he's lying to you. Even for the few things that you think he's actually positive on, he's just lying to you. He's just trying to take advantage of you. He's not going to fix the corruption. He is the corruption. And yes, do I understand that Hillary Clinton would also not have done anything for the corruption? Yes, I am completely aware she would have done nothing to fix the corruption. But the difference was that you believe that Donald Trump would. You were willing to forgive all of the terrible actions, terrible words, terrible personality, the fact that he is a terrible person on just a fundamental level. He's a selfish pig. You were willing to forgive that. You were willing to forgive that he was sexually assaulting women. You were willing to forgive that he felt entitled to screw over people. You were willing to forgive that he's a scam artist, all because you thought, oh, in the end, he'll have the greater good. And he didn't do that. He's not going to do that. He doesn't care. He's never cared. I don't know why people feel like people will change. People don't change. People are who they are. Look at their past. Sorry, this kind of went off on rants. Obviously, it's a hot topic. I understand there's nothing we can do. It's done. It's over. We have to move on in a certain sense. But I also completely support, of course, the protests that are going on. We have to try to prevent as much of the damage he's going to do as possible. Even if it's just because he's an egomaniac and he's going to hate that people hate him. Even if that's the only reason he doesn't completely decimate this country, we have to try. Because if he decimates it, I mean, we're all going to have to pay the price for our future. He's in his 70s. What does he care? He's dying soon. It doesn't matter if he leaves this country in rubble. Because he'll still be rich, filthy rich, and he's dying soon anyways. What does he care? He's shown he doesn't care. We must stand up. We must fight together because we're the only ones left, is the rest of us. Progressives, we need to fight together. We need to push it so that the Democratic Party learns from these mistakes, because I'm afraid, based on some of these candidates that are running for DNC chair, that they're not going to learn. Donald Trump is president. It was hard on election night. I worked a 16-hour shift at the elections, working in an election area, and I got home and I stayed up and I watched that election, and shock hit me. It's tough. It's going to be a tough 4 years. It's going to be a tough 4 years for me. It's going to be a tough 4 years for others. And I can't even imagine, because I know even for me, it's going to be so less tough than so many of the other people, because I'm still white. I'm still a man. So it's hard, but I still feel so bad. And like, I understand that my life doesn't get worse, but it's so hard to understand and know so many other people's lives who will get worse because of this man. It happened. We must learn. I hope that I've enlightened you into some of the reasons why I believe that he won. I hope that it helps us find a way to move forward so that we can fix this problem, so that next time we don't allow this to happen. I'm not sure if I did. I'm not positive that this was maybe the most helpful episode, but I feel like we need to make sure we know what happened. Even if this is just a giant rant for me, there is a lot that happened, a lot that caused this to happen. But we must look forward, and I hope that you'll join me to keep fighting forward. The next episode we're going to go into, I believe I'm going to talk about the cabinet for Trump. We're going to go a little more in depth about what that looks like. It may come out prior to some of the confirmations, so some of it may change. So I'll give you that warning, but the original people he put up, I will definitely have a significant amount of them, a decent amount of some high-ranking cabinet members, and we'll talk a little bit more about them and the kind of damage they're going to cause if they get confirmed. I want to thank you all again for coming. I apologize a little bit for my rants and my language. I have explicit on the podcast. There's a reason. I know I'll swear. This is a little bit more than I wanted to, so I do apologize for that. I'll try not to keep that going. But I'm a passionate guy, and this is a huge issue to me. It's a huge thing that I care about. And so that's why that comes out. It's my passion, so I hope that you can understand that. Please, if you have time, go visit the website. Check it out. You can leave a comment. If you got the subscribe somewhere, you know, if you don't have a subscribe, please do. Rate and review if you can on iTunes or any other platform. It all helps the channel. On there as well, I actually just released a store. So you can get the Obsessive Progressive logo on a t-shirt or a sweatshirt or whatever you want. You'll see there's some options there on the online. And that's www.obsessiveprogressive.com. And it'll be on the left, you'll see store there. So there's some things if you want to, no big deal, no pressure. Also, again, if you shop on Amazon, if you want to help the channel, there is an affiliate link on that front screen right below the intro. You can use that as well. There's also a survey there to get a little bit more better understanding of the individuals listening to this podcast. So no pressure, just if you can, I'd appreciate it. I just really want to thank you for listening and coming in and downloading this episode. It really has made me feel really special seeing some of the responses already, and I'm hoping it continues. We're going to keep moving forward. I know we can win as long as we stick together. So thank you for joining me again. I am Anthony. This was Obsessive Progressive, and I will see you in the next one.
As Bernie Sanders once said, "Finally, let us understand that when we stand together, we will always win." Thank you for listening, and please join us next time on the Obsessive Progressive Podcast, hosted by Anthony Bazzo.